Okay, we're going to read from Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Father, we ask you to speak to us through your word now. Put your anointing in your word and bring it forth in power to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abram or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him or credited to him, but also for us it shall be imputed, credited to us, who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offences and was raised again because of our justification. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you can also look at, when you jot this down, Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 6, and Genesis 17, 1 to 6. Now, God made a big promise to Abraham. And the response was from Abraham was, he believed it. He believed it. He said to Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, he spoke to him about the, let's just read Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Remember, his name was Abram before God changed his name. In a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And so he was in that position. Nothing was really happening. He had plenty of wealth. But, you know, prosperity in those days was really important, that you had a male child and that you could propagate your family and so on. But he didn't have that. He didn't have this child that he needed. And he said to God, but what's the point? You know, I've got all this wealth, but really, how can blessing come? I haven't really got a family. I've got nothing, really, in that line. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. But this was God's response. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then God brought him outside and said, obviously it was night, and he said, and I'm sure that God made those skies clear that night, got rid of all the clouds, and he looked up into the starry heavens, and he saw all the heavenly hosts there, and said, look now towards heaven, and count the stars if you're able to number them. Have you ever tried counting the stars on a clear night? It's pretty hard to do, you can't do it. Because we know that far beyond those, there's others and others that you can't see with human eye. As the most powerful telescopes will show us, demonstrate to us in these days. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be, if you can count the number of the stars. And in another portion of scripture, he says, your descendants will be as numerable as the sand on the seashore. And that's incredible. It's kind of endless, isn't it? And so Abram believed God. That's the main thing here. God made this promise, and he said, your descendants will be like that, as that many. And he believed it. Now that was an awesome promise. He believed God, and in doing so, he had the word of promise in his heart. And when God speaks to us, when God speaks to many people, they start to question him. And instead of saying, right, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe, and immediately grab that word and hide it in the heart, the word is floating on the surface and they're mulling around with it, and then the devil comes and snatches it away in many cases. And they're questioning God, and they're going, how, but if, that, and the other. All the time questioning God. We can't grow in faith if all the time we're questioning the promises God makes, because God makes promises sometimes that seem to us absolutely impossible. Because God calls those things which are not as though they were. In God's mind, it's already established. We've already got it. It's coming our way. But we can't see it, so we question God, and we try to work it out, and our mind accelerates really fast, and we try to work all the problems and all the evidence and the proof why we can't, this promise cannot be fulfilled in our lives. This is natural thinking. This is the carnal mind. It is in opposition. It's contrary to the mind of Christ. Now, the Bible encourages us to take on the mind of Christ and to be renewed in the spirit of our mind and to think like God. That means taking on board God's thoughts and agreeing with God. Then we don't come under condemnation. Now, Abraham, immediately when God spoke to him, I know he questioned him about certain things, but when this promise was made, he hid the word in his heart. He agreed with God. He said, yes, I believe. He says in the Bible he believed, and therefore by his agreement with God's word, it went down into his heart and started to germinate and root and so on and grow. This is how faith is produced. You'll never have strong faith if all the time you're reasoning with God about how it can be done. We have to trust God for the moment and walk moment by moment and not look too far ahead into the future. You know, we all tend to do it at times. We start to worry about what might happen. Look, when that time comes, we leave it with God now, some things we can pray about. But when that time comes what you foresee as a problem that might arise, then we've got God to rely on at that time, and God will sort it out because he'll make sure that we get justice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he believed God, and in doing so, he hid the word of promise in his heart until it was fulfilled. That's what we have to do. That's what kept Joseph going in that prison. And I'm sure at times he wondered what was happening. So did Abraham. He tried to help God out and made a big blunder. And then God gave Ishmael, Ishmael came, should I say. And then God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless Ishmael. Gosh, what a problem that blessing has been ever since. And God did bless the Arab nation. And when they say, but Abraham is our... Well, they're right in a way, aren't they? But, you know, Ishmael wasn't the son of promise. But the one who wasn't... And that's what happens sometimes when we do it our way. And, we start to do it for God. And it's not the son of promise. It can cause us so many problems, can't it? And God in his graciousness said to Abram, after he did that his own way, I will bless them and I'll make a great nation of them. But that's not the son of promise. It's better to wait on God for the promise than to start trying to help God out and cause great problems. We see the problem between the Jews and the Palestinians now. These all came from Abraham. Yes, they've got a right to say Abraham is our father, but they're not the sons of promise, the Jews are. And those who from Jewish descent, Jesus came, the seed, the promised seed. And all those who put their faith in Christ are the children of promise. And we can call Abraham our father, the father Abraham, the father of the faith. Because this promise was made by faith before the law came. The law came, 430 years after, but this promise was made before. And the law doesn't disannul the promise. God didn't change his mind when the law came. Well, I don't need the promise anymore. God doesn't do that. He doesn't muck us around. He doesn't mess our heads up. Just keep the promise in your heart and believe it. Hide it in your heart and stick with God, because that's the only way you're going to see it happen. Stick with the Lord until it is fulfilled. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How could he sin against God? The answer is, by not believing in his unchanging promise. I remember, you hear so many preachers say that sin, unbelief is sin. And it sounds strong, that. But in some cases, it is. Especially when God is giving you a promise that concerns his great plans and purposes, his foreordained plan, and then we deny it and we're fighting against it. And you know, we see a judgment from God on the father of John the Baptist, don't we? Zechariah. When he didn't believe, he said, because you didn't believe, you'll be dumb until it comes to pass. And God put a temporary judgment on him. He made him mute. See, we must believe in the promises of God. It displeases him when we keep, when we have the problem when we're trying to get through to people, and all the time they're arguing and over every little detail. And God is says to me, see, like they argue with you, this is how they do it with me. That's why they don't grow so quick. Because all the time they're questioning everything I do, mulling over it, pulling it all to bits, trying to analyze it all. This is not the way God works. Listen, faith, Jesus said, faith, we've got to become like little children. We've got to be humble. We've got to be receptive. We've got to believe in our mum and dad. And if they're good parents, you know, they will keep the promise. And we trust in them that they'll protect us and do what they say. And Jesus said, we've got to be like that with our Father, because he won't let us down. Look, earthly parents can let us down. I failed on my promises at times only because I didn't have either the money or the power to do it, because we know with most children it's to do with money. So, you know, let's not promise them too much with money, because they'll take that and they'll ask for more, and it'll keep going on and on. It'll never end. They get greedier and greedier and greedier. This is the carnal nature, you know, it's never satisfied. So we have to put the blocks on at time, you know, and say thus far, no further, you know, and be wise in how much we give them. And so you can trust in God like a child to his father. He won't fail. He didn't fail Abraham, and you know, look at the promise being fulfilled today. It's still going on and on. Look at all the millions throughout the world being saved continuously, massive evangelism and so on. The gospel is going out more now than it's ever done. And this is the promise that God made to Abraham. So shall your seed be. Huh? Look at it. It's never ending. You can't count it. Basically, what God was saying, you won't be able to count them all. And we can't count all the ones. We can't give a sure statistic of how many people are being born again right now. Or in the world. We don't know. Nobody knows. Not even Operation World knows. Nobody knows. Because often when I read these books, you know, you can read Operation World and read a lot of others. They don't know everything that's going on. They didn't know what I was doing when I was born in again, going to all the villages and places with tracts in the rural areas, going to Liverpool, going preaching in the Dingle, rough areas, preaching the gospel to everyone in sight for a number of years. And often I used to think to myself when I read these books, I thought they don't know about what I'm doing. They're not coming up with statistics round here. Lots of people are hearing the gospel here. And we're not blaming them for that, because they can't possibly know what's going on. And so many others in the world doing great works for God, and nobody knows what's going on. And the people don't know Operation World and many other books. People that do research, Christian research on statistics on people being born again, know about. They don't know everything. It's impossible for them to know. And this is why God made the promise to Abraham. You won't be able to count them all. So if we think we can today, when we're contradicting God, because God said you won't be able to count them all, that's the power of the gospel. Awesome, isn't it? When he made that gospel out to Abraham. God can make a big promise to you that seems impossible at times. Abraham was... Then he brought him outside, let me read this again, and said, look now, and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. See what I'm saying? And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. God can make a big promise to you that seems impossible at the time. Now, God's made big promises to me. I remember when God made a promise to me, one of them, he said, the Lord's going to do things for you that will make the hairs in the back of your neck stand on end, and he's going to do things for you beyond your wildest dreams. And that's what I want to entitle that message today, Beyond Your Wildest Dreams. So don't limit God by unbelief with your small, tiny, finite mind. Get the mind of Christ and have the mind of God, which is open to eternity and ongoing revelation, and believe God. When you start to think the way God and agree with God and his word and start to open your mind in faith and your heart in faith to him, then God can do for you beyond your wildest dreams. That's right. But if we stay in that mindset where we're questioning all the time, pulling it apart, you can see spiritual pygmies in the church today, dwarfs that do not grow. Because this is the type of people, they haven't got faith. They probably haven't, I don't know how much faith they have got. They've got the word, they've got everything else, they do all the right thing. But it's this faith. This faith can only grow if you do the things I'm saying today. God can make a big promise to you that seems impossible at times. And most of the things that God says to us, they're impossible. And sometimes God makes a promise, then we start to look ahead and try to work it out again. But that promise might take 20 or 30 years to come to pass. Abram died thousands of years ago, and it's still being fulfilled, that promise. It's an ongoing thing with Abraham. What an awesome thing when God makes a promise and adds his blessing to it. It continues and continues. Abraham's promise will continue till Jesus comes back. What an awesome promise. God kept it to the letter. If it's impossible to you, then faith says, I'm not going to question you, Lord, because I know you're not a liar. When you make a promise, you mean it and you keep it. That's faith. But if we're questioning God and pulling it all apart, analyzing, trying to work it out, it's all going to happen, that's not faith. That's disobedience against the word of God. That's unbelief. That's an offense to God. Faith is simple, childlike trust. And saying, I believe it, and confess it, and you'll find most people around you will question, you'll pull you apart and whatever. But if you believe it, you're going to confess it, because it says, I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth and establish it by my confession. It roots it. And it's in you. And all the world around you can disbelieve, like Joseph. His brothers disbelieved him, and many people disbelieved when the people who got the promise spoke it out in the Bible. But it came to pass. You know, when Jesus made all those statements to the Pharisees and scribes, they all attacked him. But it came to pass. You can't stop it once it's come out of your mouth. And I'm sure Abram shared what he had with Sarah and others. Praise the Lord. So let's believe God. Let's believe it no matter how big and how wild it may be and how awesome it may be. He can do it. He made promises about this work. And I remember when we called it One Way Global 7, we weren't really global at the time, except through prayer. But look, it's slowly but surely coming to pass, just like the promise he made to Abraham. It didn't happen straight away to Abraham, had to wait a long, long time. Yes, he got the son of promise, and then it propagated by children being born, you know, when it went down the ancestral line until Jesus came. And then Jesus waited 30 years. This is the patience of God. And then when he started to preach, the spiritual seed started to become. And then ever from that day to this, look at it, it's growing, it never stops. It's like that tiny grain of mustard seed that's multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. And more people are hearing the gospel today than ever and being born again. The promise is awesome when it starts to work. But there is a wait at times until the time comes when we start to see the evidence of it. You see, against hope, he believed in hope. Hallelujah. When all the odds were against him, when he said, but how, you know, he did say at one point about Canaan, and then God started to make, or gave him other words. We have to trust. God doesn't reveal everything to us. Sometimes we say, but Lord, when's this going to happen? Nothing comes. He keeps saying it for years. Nothing comes. And it's almost like God in his silence is saying, just trust me. I'll work it out. Abraham was childless, so how could his descendants be as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore innumerable? It was impossible, but not with God. You see, he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Romans 4:17. Let's just read it to finalize it. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. Paul quoting God's voice to Abraham. In the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You see, when God makes a promise, he talks and it comes to us. It's such a reality because it's a reality in God's heart and mind. And it comes across to us when God speaks as a powerful reality. And we all get excited and we think it's going to happen tomorrow. But it's the promise. It comes with that force because it's just faith. It's a conviction of God coming to us at that moment. That's why it hits us with such power. And it doesn't happen the next day. It doesn't happen. This is why we have to hide it in our heart. It's like the farmer who plants a seed in the soil, you know, and it remains there. And he can't keep going, digging it up, looking, is it growing? He leaves it, and for days and days on end, nothing's happening. He has to trust. He forgets about it. He just knows at the right appointed time, the right season, that seed's going to start coming through. And that's the same with faith. When God makes a promise, hide it in your heart. Get on with what you're doing. But hide it in your heart first. Don't start questioning it. It might take 20 years. So what's the point of spending all that time questioning it? So he calls those things in the presence of him who believed. He believed God. He believed God. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Romans 4:20. It was a massive promise, but slowly and surely it came to pass. We're seeing it in this work, aren't we? You've stuck through. And at times you must have wondered, it's been going on for years, well, I'm completely lost it and I'm just making it up. But now we're seeing it happen. Before our very eyes, we've seen a global ministry develop there, here, in this work, through this work. And God actually providing the means for it, with all the internet facilities and so on. But it's only just begun. Keep believing and watch God's blessing on it as it grows and multiplies, just like the promise he made to Abraham. And look at the evidence today. Let's just pray. Breathe upon your word now, Lord. Water it in our hearts, root it in us, and bless it to us, and multiply. And keep our eyes open to behold all the things that you're doing now, not in the future, now. In Jesus' name, because faith is now. Faith is moment by moment, day by day. Believing God for that very moment, every day. That's what faith is. Brings it into present tense. It brings God into present tense. God working now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.